Thank you, James and Carla and Ben and Becky. Never once did I walk this way alone. Never once did he leave us on our own. God is faithful. We could probably have a testimony meeting the rest of the time here this morning of God's faithfulness as he walked with us, even this last week, of the times when you may have felt alone, but God reassures his presence with you, and he is faithful. About 4 years ago, I was in an accident. I was come up to a red light. There was a car in front of me, and I slowed down the stop, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw this big 18-wheeler coming. And I knew he wasn't going to stop. And so I braced myself with all I had, hit my back into my truck, pushed me into the car in front of me. And those moments, you don't know what to do. You know, you're like, what do I do? And thankfully, it wasn't a terrible impact, but sent me to the chiropractor. I had some whiplash. And he set me up on regular appointments to try to straighten me out. And after that period of time was over, he wanted to put me on a regular schedule to come back and to be adjusted regularly. That way I would stay in shape. Keep that in mind. A couple weeks ago, a man that was downstairs watching Fireproof, so I joined in. And it's like, wow. I think I'll watch that every month. Just to get an adjustment on my marriage and how I should relate to my wife and how I should treat my wife. It's like I needed a marriage adjustment. And as we read God's Word, His Word has an adjusting effect on our lives. It has a purifying effect on us. Whether we know it or not, as we read, it just has a way of purifying our lives. And this morning, the subject that we want to talk about is on forgiveness. And I feel like that's a chiropractic adjustment as well. That I need a message or to learn about forgiveness weekly and daily sometimes and monthly to get my mind back in the ways of God as he looks at forgiveness, as we think about forgiveness. You know, we live in a sinful world and his pulls are strong. And the ways of the world, the ways of their thinking sometimes has a way of pulling us in that direction. I'm not an expert on this subject, and as I look in the audience, there's a lot of people here who have a lot more experience in forgiveness than I do. They've been called to experience some very hard things in their lives. But what I want to bring to you is what I've learned through God's Word and through His Holy Spirit. And what I've learned from other people. We live in a selfish world, we really do. Just 2 weeks ago, Aaron Alexis, down in Baltimore, killed 12 people in the Naval Shipyard. He was angry about something, I'm not sure what it was. And we see how unforgiveness is played out in our world. We see how it's played out in our lives. We see how it's played out in our families, in our churches, in our workplace. It's like cancer. We see it tear apart lives, tear apart families, tear apart churches, tear apart businesses. Unforgiveness is like carrying a bag of poison around, hoping someone else gets sick. It's like carrying a bag of poison around, hoping the other person gets sick. Forgiveness is not easy. I want to be sensitive today to the wrongs that may have been done to you. Some of you have experienced, like I said, very hard things. It's not the normal way that the human man likes to operate in forgiveness. That's why when the Nickel Mine shooting occurred and the leaders went to the shooter's wife and said, "We forgive," the world was like, "What? You forgive?" It's like, it It goes against every grain in the human body to forgive. If you're a Christian here today, you probably have experienced some form of forgiveness in your life at one time or another. Good possibility some of us here, even this week, have asked for forgiveness. And it's a good possibility here that some of us this week have granted forgiveness to someone. But on the tip of our tongue, as Christians, should be our awe and gratitude to our Heavenly Father for forgiving us. We should be living out our lives in respect to what God has done for us and what God has forgiven us. A verse I want you to keep in the back of your mind this morning is John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed and happy are you if you do them. Just tuck that away in the back of your mind this morning as we talk about forgiveness. It was in the context of servant and master relationships, but I believe it applies to every principle of Scripture as well. Blessed and happy are you if you do them. Jesus has a lot to say about forgiveness. In Mark 11:25-26, this is in context of teaching about kingdom life and what it's like to live in the kingdom with Jesus in control. It says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let it drop. Leave it in order that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you of your own failings and shortcomings. Verse 26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your failures and shortcomings. That's an awesome thought. If we come and we're coming to God, asking God for something, and there's something in our hearts that we're not willing to forgive of someone, Jesus says, stop everything you're doing. Go forgive. And then come to me with your requests. John 6:37 says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Matthew 6:12 we know is the Lord's Prayer. And we've prayed it many, many times. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I ask myself, is that what I really mean? Do I really want God to forgive me like I forgive my fellow men? But as we pray that prayer, we're agreeing together. We're agreeing with God that that's the way life of the kingdom is. That I will be forgiven as I forgive my fellow men. Turn to our text, Matthew 18:21-25. I'll be gone through it verse by verse, some multiple verses. But when you think of Matthew 18, your mind goes to, if you have aught against your brother, you know, go and make it right. And how to settle our differences with other people. But the chapter is an awesome moment where Jesus is again explaining what it's like to live life in the kingdom, to live life for God. I want you to remember that kingdom life, kingdom living, is a total radical change for the disciples and the people he was talking to. It was a totally radical way of living. They were coming from a law-based living where there was a punishment for every offense. Every offense that you could do, there was a punishment that was going to be dealt out. There was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And whenever something was happened or a violation occurred, you saw punishment dealt out right there. Totally different way of living. Chapter talks about who's the greatest. It talks about what it's like to have the heart of a child. It talks about being a stumbling block for young Christians. It talks about how to deal the heart of a shepherd in dealing for the lost. It talks about dealing with offenses in the church. And I can just see Peter as Jesus is teaching all this stuff. And, you know, young people have a lot of different body languages today, and I can't mimic them. I'm not going to try to mimic some of our young people's body language, even in my own household. But I'll pay for that one. But I can just imagine Peter, as emotional as he was, standing there, and Jesus was teaching all this, how what it's like to live in the kingdom. And Peter just had it up to here, and he said, in verse 21, said, "Lord, how many times? How about seven times? Do I have to forgive seven times?" And I just imagine Peter, because it all said three times you had to forgive. And then I guess they were fair game. But he says, three times, let's go three more, and then I'll add one more for good measure. Maybe Jesus will like me better if I say seven. And I love Jesus' response to Peter. He didn't make him belittle him. He didn't make him feel any less of a person. He just said, "How about 70 times seven?" I can just imagine Peter. And then he tells a story. I just love the way Jesus teaches, how he just has a gentle way of bringing about truth. Verse 23 says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a man who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." He says, this is kingdom of heaven. This is God's way. This is the kingdom life. This is what it's like to live in the kingdom. This is God's way. He says, listen closely. So the king wanted to settle his accounts. Those of you who are in business, keep a close eye on accounts receivable. That's the lifeblood of your business. If you don't have anything coming in, there's probably not much going out the other side. In our business, we're still dealing with people who have not paid from last year's. We sell some ice melt, and we still have people who have not paid their bill from last year. So this sermon on forgiveness, I may be able to put into practice. And so he gathered, I can just imagine this king handed his accounts over to his accountant and says, let's get these things settled up. So the accountant gathers all his people up and brings them into the king. And along comes this man who owes 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is 20 years' wage. And let's say at today's average income of 50,000, you do the math. He owes 10,000 talents. At one talent is 20 years' wage at $50,000. That's a lot of money. The bottom line is the debt could never, ever, ever be repaid. I don't care if he worked 365 days, 24/7, and got paid triple overtime. He's never, ever going to pay his debt. And I believe we can all identify with this story because we all have had a debt paid that we could never, ever, ever pay. Jesus paid that debt for us. Someone had to pay the debt for us to come before a holy God. And Jesus was willing to pay that debt. And I asked myself, has it sunk into my heart? Has that truth really sunk into my heart? And I believe how you will know if it has sunk in, it will affect how we live. To get it from our head to our heart, it will affect how we live and how we treat people. Many of us here today have had things done to us by people or people we love that can never be repaid. Lives have been damaged, pain has been caused, innocence has been stolen, broken promises, betrayal that can never be repaid without grace. And so we can identify with this king. Verse 24, as he began the settlement, the man who owed the 10,000 talents was brought to him. He was not able to pay. The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. So he comes to find out that this man is now not able to pay. And so he says, "I might as well get some money, so let's sell them, and they will be slaves for the rest of their lives." The servant, hearing this, fell on his knees and begged for patience, "and I will pay you." He says he begged, "and I will pay you everything." Now, something's wrong with this picture, because he could never, ever repay. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he was going to go rob a bank or if he had a rich uncle he was going to go visit. But he could never, ever repay this debt. I don't see how he could so underestimate his ability to repay this debt. But he thought in his mind, just give me time, I'll pay, I'll pay. And there's a lesson here that jumps out. Rarely do we ever calculate or estimate the damage or hurt that our offenses cause to other people. Rarely do we ever estimate to the degree that our offenses and the hurt that it's caused on other people. This man thought he could pay. He could never pay. And I don't think we should expect that people can understand. Rarely do even I understand the extent to what my pain caused or my offense caused to someone else, whether it's my wife or my children or whoever. We don't rightly underestimate, just like this man underestimated his ability to pay. The servant master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. What a moment. What an awesome, forgiving master, king. I can imagine the accountant sitting there beside the desk. Pen drops. What just happened? You forgave this man all this debt. The servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who had owed him 100 coins, silver coins, which was one day's wage. I grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe, he demanded. Again, what was this man thinking? He goes out of the office. He's a free man. On the way out, he sees a friend that one time he loaned some money. I don't know what he was thinking. But don't say he ever asked, can we set up a payment plan? When are you going to pay it? Grabs him and chokes him and says, pay what you owe. He demanded it from him. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. Sound familiar? Just a little bit ago, that man said the same thing to his king, who he owed money to. Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. It must have happened right there as he just came out from the king, grabbed this man, choked him, and his friends and everyone else was watching around him. Master called his servant and said, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. You came in, you couldn't pay. I had pity on you. I had mercy on you, and I granted you mercy. And you, in turn, had an opportunity to show mercy to a fellow man, and you didn't. The forgiveness that never entered the man's heart, he never, ever let it affect his heart, because it didn't affect the way he lived, the way he treated his fellow man. He said, you should have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you. The man didn't say nothing, but I believe in his mind he said, yes, I should have, and no, I didn't. I knew better, but I didn't. I want you to remember the verse of John 13 I said earlier. John 13:17, happy and blessed are you if you do these things. The man knew better and did not. But Jesus says, happy and blessed are you if you do these things. Verse 34, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay all that he owed. Then the most sobering verse of this whole passage is verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart. What incredible words. Not my words. It's Jesus' words to us. Not only did he preach it, but he lived it. As I studied and pondered this whole thing of forgiveness, I believe forgiveness is to be the natural response for us as believers to offenses that are caused to us. Or that happened to us. Offenses. I believe forgiveness is to be our natural response or our default response to offenses that come to us as believers. It's one of the hardest things because our flesh rises up within us and everything within us does not want to forgive. I believe Peter's whole deal in this whole thing of asking Jesus, he was looking for a loophole. He was looking for a pass. He was looking for a way out. He was looking for a certain group of people that I don't have to forgive. He was looking for that I can go this far and no farther, because he wanted to get even. There was something in him that wanted to get even. The answer is clear. Everyone has to forgive for everything all the time. It's life in the kingdom. Jesus said, you cannot receive my forgiveness unless you grant forgiveness. We have many opportunities to show forgiveness. Reflect on your week. You all have many opportunities to show forgiveness. Whether it's that car that darted in front of you, or that man who cheated you out of a deal, or maybe your wife or your husband or your children. You have many opportunities to forgive. You know, if you came to my house and you trashed my vehicles, you trashed my house, you know, I could get the vehicle fixed. I could fix the house back up. But you know what I would struggle with? I would struggle with forgiveness. I would struggle with getting even. Our flesh rises up and wants to get even. Jesus says, forgive. Forgive. Why don't we forgive? We tell ourselves many lies. One lie we tell ourselves is too big. It's too big, I can't forgive. Well, I believe that's all the more reason to forgive. We don't have to carry it around. We don't need to carry it around. We weren't made to carry loads like that. Jesus says, cast our burdens upon him. Let it go. Forgive. Another lie we tell ourselves is time will heal. And nowhere in Scripture does it say time is a healer. I don't believe time is a healer. Time may dull, time may mask, but it's not a healer. And when we see that person again, something within us rises up. Or that situation's revisited, something within us will rise up again. I've experienced that even this week, of a situation that rose up and I had to come to grips with it again and to forgive. But another lie we tell ourselves that when they come, I'll forgive. Well, guess what? They may never, never come. Another lie we tell ourselves, well, if I forgive them, they may do it again. They may. They may do it again. But Jesus calls us to forgive. The question is, how big of a trailer do you want to carry around hauling your offenses? On the lighter side, I think in PA, you're allowed 53-foot trailers without a special permit. And if we're not careful, we'll need a special permit to carry the trailer that we're hauling our offenses in. If we live by the philosophy that they may do it again, they may do it again. But Jesus calls us to forgive. Forgiveness has huge consequences. This man who was forgiven of his 10,000 talents was in an incredible position. He could have walked out of that place a free man, able to start his life all over again, having the burden of debt taken off his back. What an incredible turn of events. But he went out and took a man who owed him peanuts and grabbed him and said, pay. And he said, give me time. He said, no. And he threw him in jail. Unforgiveness, I believe, messes with our ability to think clearly. That man clearly wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking clearly. It messes with our ability to think clearly and shatters relationships in its wake. There was no impact on the heart that of the forgiveness that he had received from the king because it hadn't impacted his life. Forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people forgive. And when he stood before the king, and the king asked him, why? What did he say? He had nothing to say. Absolutely nothing to say. And when we stand before a holy and just God, and he asks us why we didn't forgive, what will he say? What will we say? Will we say it's too big? Will we say they didn't ask? Or they may do it again? We'll have absolutely nothing to say. Verse 34 says, in thinking of the consequences of unforgiveness, it says, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Just a warning here that if we won't forgive and harbor bitterness, I believe we're open season to the devil and all his demons. Our lives are open season to the demons and the devil. It's not an uncommon scene to find people harassed by demons who harbor bitterness and unforgiveness in their lives. Bitterness is known in Scripture as spiritual poison. It eats like cancer. It destroys. It tears up people's hearts and lives. Unforgiveness not only gives demons the right to torture us, but prevents God from forgiving our sins. And I believe this is very, very serious that we need to look at. That means when we cry out to God for help, and we have unforgiveness in our hearts, as he looks down, he sees our unforgiving heart, and he says he won't forgive us. It puts a wall in our relationship with God. It puts a wall there. Jesus is very clear that if we're not willing to forgive, he won't forgive us. Unforgiveness is actually taking something that belongs to God and taking it into our own hands. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Repaying is God's to do, not ours to do. And we hold unforgiveness in our hearts. We're saying, I'm going to make them pay. We're taking things into our hands that were never meant to be in our hands. They will sow for the wrong. They will reap for the wrong which they have sowed. If you choose to forgive someone, they are off your hook, but they are not off God's hook. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap. Another thing that the consequences of unforgiveness is hospitals like Mayo Clinic and other places do studies on the effect of unforgiveness on the body and health. And it's astounding the effect of unforgiveness has on the human body. And at times it's even, it causes death. A person who really is harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in their hearts. And another thing, it destroys our testimony before. If we who claim to be forgiven by our Lord won't forgive our fellow men, I believe it brings shame and reproach to the name of Jesus. Consequences are huge. It's what God's word says. It's all here in Scripture. Matthew 6:14 says, if you will forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Jesus asks us to walk in the way of forgiveness. He asks us to walk, be forgiving people. So what is forgiveness? There's many definitions, but this is the one I like. That I choose through the power of the Holy Spirit to release the person from obligation that resulted when they injured me. I choose through the power of the Holy Spirit to release a person from the obligation that resulted when they injured me. I release you from what you owe. I'm not seeking revenge. I'm not keeping an account. I'm not focusing on your failures. I release you from what you owe. And I will pay the debt. I will pick up the debt I will pay for the damage myself and let you off the hook. That's what forgiveness says. And by the grace of God and with the support of the family of God, whether it's a counselor, many of you here are involved in people's lives and working through hard things in this area of forgiveness, whether it's a counselor, a friend, a pastor, whoever, that with the family of God we can rally together and begin healing their lives. But forgiveness is releasing the other person, releasing them from the obligation to pay. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He took on the debt and said, I'll pay your debt. And he says, go and do likewise. Like I said, Jesus is asking us to have forgiveness be our default response to offenses. Those of you, most of you are familiar with computers, and there's default modes. And as believers, that's to be our default mode to offenses, is to forgive quickly. Jesus is very clear in teachings in Scripture. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't harbor these unforgiving attitudes and bitterness, because bitterness is like a poison. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. And Jesus says, settle quickly. Forgive. Release. Now, I wanted to share a few things what forgiveness is not, because right away when we say forgive, some people go to the response of, well, I just have to get over it and just, yeah, not let it affect me. So I want to talk about a number of things of what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not approving or diminishing what was done. Forgiveness is not approving or diminishing what was done to you. It is a big deal. Someone sinned against you. Sin is sin. It is a big deal. And forgiveness is not diminishing that fact at all. Forgiveness is not diminishing that fact at all. Forgiveness is not enabling that person. It's not enabling the person to keep on sinning. For example, if your child went to a sleepover to someone's house and something happened there that violated your child, you can forgive them, but you don't need to send your child back there to that place again to enable that to happen again. Forgiveness is not enabling that person. And we could give many more examples. Forgiveness is not rescuing you from consequences. By me forgiving you, it does not rescue you from the consequences of what was done, whether it's consequences from God of the sowing and reaping or consequences from the law, if it involved the civil laws. It does not take you off the hook of the consequences. Forgiveness is not denying the wrongdoing. It's not like, I'm moving on, I'm past that. It's in the past. Forgiveness is not denying the wrongdoing, of forgetting and moving on. That's not forgiveness at all, it's denial. Forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. You may die before someone comes to apologize. Or the person may continue in their evil, wicked ways until they die. And there's never that finality or closure of them coming and making things right. Forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. Forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is not forgetting. A lot of, like I said, there's some horrific things that have happened to people, even people here in their lives. And it's almost impossible to forget, but we can choose to walk in forgiveness. And we will never begin to heal unless we choose to forgive. Unforgiveness is a decision to keep looking at it, to keep bringing it up, allowing it to be fresh in your mind. To forgive is a decision to let go and allow the healing to begin. To forgive is to not to cease to feel pain. And like I said, some of you have had very hard things happen, very hurtful things happen in your lives. And it hurts deeply. And it may continue to hurt for a while, for years. You know, the Bible says that the only place there'll be no tears is in heaven. The only place there'll be no tears is in heaven. Things on this earth will hurt us. We'll feel the pain. Forgiveness is not ceasing to feel pain. Forgiveness is not trusting. Just give an example here of if you were molested as a child or by your father, and maybe he repented, but do you allow him to watch your children? And the answer is, unless there's been fruits worthy of repentance, in keeping with repentance, the answer is no. Trust takes time to build. Takes time to build, and it's lost. Can be lost in a snap of a finger. Trust can be lost. So forgiving is not necessarily trusting right away again. Trust can be rebuilt over time. Like I said, with fruits in keeping with repentance, trust can be rebuilt. Forgiving is not a one-time event. In my life, I've had to choose forgiveness over and over again for the same situation. Forgiveness is a path to walk. It's a lifestyle. It's life in the kingdom when we choose to forgive, to walk in the path of forgiveness. The last one I have is forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. If I forgive, it doesn't mean we're necessarily buddies again. It takes one to forgive. It takes one to repent. It takes one to grant forgiveness. But it takes two people to reconcile. But if reconciliation doesn't happen, let it be because of the other person and not us. Let's do our best to try for reconciliation. And let's not be our fault. So what is forgiveness again? That I choose through the power of the Holy Spirit to release a person from obligation that resulted when they injured me. Now, isn't that what Jesus did for us? He said, I'll pay the debt that we could never, ever pay. He forgave me when I didn't deserve it. And he asked us to forgive our fellow men when they don't deserve it. I believe forgiveness is more about our relationship with God than our relationship with the one who offended us. Realizing that I've been forgiven, and my gratitude to my Lord and my King for paying my debt colors my whole world. To get that from my head to my heart will affect how I live and how I treat other people. He paid a debt that I could never pay. I want to close. I want you to, this week, I want you to come before the Lord and ask him to reveal if there's any person in your life that you haven't forgiven. And by God's grace, forgive that person. To release them from the obligation and from the hurt that they've caused you. I'm scheduled to preach in 2 weeks, but I might see if I can change this to next week. I want to bring the second part of the sermon, from unforgiveness to freedom. There's tremendous freedom in walking in forgiveness. Of life in the kingdom, that Jesus was teaching a new and different way. And brothers and sisters, we live in a world who is so far from life in the kingdom. And we tend to gravitate towards, we don't naturally gravitate towards God. We're pulled towards the world and their way of thinking. But this thing of forgiveness is to be a natural response, as hard as it is. And I may face something today or tomorrow that's going to rock my world. But as hard as it is, God's called us to forgive. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for the promises in your word. Lord, we sang that song that we never walk alone. We never walk alone, Lord. You're always there. You're always faithful. And even in this message on forgiveness, Lord, it's our flesh rises up and wants to get even and pay justice for what the damage they've done. Lord, things have happened to us. Stuff has been stolen from our lives. Innocence has been stolen. Betrayal. violated by words. But Lord, you call us to forgive, to release, so that we can journey to a path of healing. Lord, you are the great healer. You want to heal our lives. You want to be our shepherd to lead us into green pastures. So I pray that we be this open to you. Allow you to speak to our hearts this week. If there's an area that we're holding back, Lord, you've called us to forgive so that you can forgive us our trespasses. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.